This is News West. News West is put together by the WA Amateur Radio News. News West is a community organisation with community news. If you want to submit something, please do so. newswest@vk6.net.
Hello from the WA VHF group. Listeners may recall last week's article focused on the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. Using the upcoming VHF-UHF Field Day as a springboard and success with 23cm communications in the John Moyle, the club had a tech talk looking at antennas for the higher bands. We also talked about BIOS T networks stimulated by preliminary testing of the 10 gig beacon rebuild. I think that most amateurs on 2 metres would be familiar with and most likely use variants on the pogo stick or flower pot antenna. Thanks to the harmonic relationship with the 70cm band, they usually perform well there too. Or, if you've seen our Bunnings Yagi, a tape measure Yagi quite similar to the Peel Amateur Radio Group's Fox Hunting Kit antenna, you'll appreciate the robust nature of its hack-through-the-bush and fold-it-into-your-rucksack characteristics. Terry, VK6ZLT, our long-term Tech Talk maestro, had presented on other types of antennas, notably for 70cm, such as the Biquad and the Corner Reflector Alford slot. Both antennas provide enough gain to justify their place in an amateur's portable antenna kit and are worth a look. You will find enough information on the net to construct your own. Terry made a jig to bend the elements of the Biquad, so if there's sufficient interest among club members and the wider VK6 amateur community, we could organise an activity day to make it easy for you to construct your own. The BIOS T topic arose in context of our preliminary testing of the 10 GHz beacon rebuild. This testing, which was very successfully carried out a couple of Saturday mornings ago from Wireless Hill, with good signal strength out to Kalamunda, which was as far as our receiving stations were located. Reports of 25 dB over S9 were quite encouraging, hi-hi. One club member used a satellite LNB and offset-fed dish and had some difficulty receiving signals. It was initially suspected that the BIOS T's in use were not up to scratch, however that was proven subsequently not to be the case. But the topic of BIOS T's was too good to pass up. Most people think of a BIOS T as a simple LC circuit, with the C coupling the RF and the L providing isolation for the DC path. But there's more involved when looking under the hood. Selection and quality of components is critical to success, especially on the higher bands. The IF coming out of an LNB is a case in point. We recommend the microwaves101.com website as an excellent resource for most things microwave, including BIOS T's. A YouTube video demonstrated the construction and analytics involved and provided several uses for BIOS T's beyond our traditional preamp feeders. For example, it was demonstrated that DC control levels could be sent over the coax to tune antennas such as screwdrivers. I intend to use BIOS T's to supply power to a small DC motor controlling a variable capacitor for my RG6 magnetic loop, but more of that next time. If you are in range of Wireless Hill, consider dropping into an activity day, which are usually held on the first and third Saturdays of each month, except December. We're a friendly group and always happy to see new faces, share a cuppa, and who knows, maybe you'll find enough camaraderie and useful conversation to consider joining. Look at our Facebook page or website to make sure that an activity day is going ahead. Sometimes unforeseen circumstances prevail to prevent us using the facilities, but this is rare. Thanks for listening. This has been Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF Group.
And Arvin is MI4. I see the lights of a town down below me.
Okay. Hey. 3, 2, 1, mark.
VI6 Charlie Romeo Oscar is confirmed as the special event call sign for the Carnarvon Eclipse event to be held at the Carnarvon Space and Technology Museum on April the 16th to the 23rd. This amateur radioactive display is sponsored by the WA Amateur Radio News Amateur Radio Club, with very special thanks to Phil, VK6 Yankee Oscar Bravo, the museum manager. and VK6PAP, well, that's me, the president of WA Amateur Radio News, Michael, VK6 Tango Uniform, and Cass, VK6 F Mum, and the primary operator and main instigator is Dan, VK6 November Alpha Delta. The station will be on air in several blocks, from between the 16th and the 23rd of April, primarily operating an FT101E HF station, along with special attention to 2 metre and 70 centimetre satellite modes via azimuth elevator rotator provided by Michael VK6TU. There's a dedicated webpage for VI6CRO at vk6.net. Please spread the word as the station will need band activity during the museum operating hours, with 600 plus members of the public expected to observe our activities throughout the event. Keep an eye on vk6.net for updates and session times.
Can I have an SKMI-4? I see the lights of a town down below me.
Okay.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
The John Moyle Field Day contest has been and gone, and all that remains is for you to submit your log. If you've already done that, good on you, and well done. For those still dragging their feet, you've only got a few days left to do it. Electronic logs are due by midnight, the 8th of April. It's not difficult. What's required is your log in a usable electronic form. You can submit a paper log, however, it's almost too late to do that. Your electronic log can be a plain text output from your logging software or an Excel-type spreadsheet. It's really simple, and the instructions in plain language are in the contest rules on the WIA website. Now send your logs as email attachments to JMFD, that's Juliet Mike Fox Delta, at wia.org.au. Now this one's important. If you've already emailed your log and you didn't receive an email acknowledgement, send it again. That's the good old WIA's email system. It glitches every year for this contest for some reason or other. You can also look at the John Moyle Memorial Field Day webpage at the WIA website, where all received logs are listed, to see if yours is there. And again, if you haven't received the confirmation email or your log isn't listed on the website, send it again. Don't complain on social media. The contest manager isn't there. Just resend it, but get onto it quickly. Scouts Western Australia is holding a Jamboree-style camp over the April school holidays. Over 1,500 scouts from across Western Australia, as well as interstate, will descend on the Swan Valley for a 9-day camp full of action, adventure and expeditions. The theme One Camp is celebrating the fact that for the first time in Australia, a camp of this scale will incorporate all age groups in a Jamboree-style camp, although the younger members will stay for a shorter time, while older youth will participate in off-site adventure activities and expeditions. All participants will spend time doing a range of activities on-site as well. Amateur radio will feature, with a station in the lab, a STEM-focused activity with lots of hands-on activities. We've even snuck in a few escaped animals of the stuffed variety that need rescuing from around the site. Scouts should be able to find these thanks to their hidden tracking transmitters. Of course, we'll also be on air. ICOM have proudly partnered with Scouts WA to supply the special event station VI61, that's Victor India 6, Oscar November Echo, with some of the latest equipment. So look out for VI61 on air from Wednesday the 12th of April until Wednesday the 19th of April 2023.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? How many of us have the last two or three or more radios they've replaced still sitting in the shed gathering dust? The amount of photos I've seen of shacks the world over that have four or five radios neatly set up on shelves, either in a shack for use or just sitting in a shed or storeroom, is mind-boggling. Often the reason for keeping an old radio is that the value is so low that the nostalgia of that radio exceeds the amount you could get for it. In today's environment of $500 software-defined radios outperforming a conventionally designed radio purchased for $5,000 15 years ago, this is now often the case. So thinking about the nostalgia of an old radio that isn't worth selling, what if you gave or long-term loaned that radio to a new ham? You might be encouraging a young person in your neighbourhood who's asked you what that big mast is for, offering along with some assistance to your local high school as a STEM program, or just giving it to someone who's interested enough to do a foundation license but doesn't yet have the required funds to purchase their first HF rig. Either way, seeing someone get the same joy you once did with an old radio, otherwise not being used, is a good way to relive the fun you had with that same rig. Long time ago, I was a beneficiary of an act like that. I'd sold my old CB to pay for a bus fare to Perth to sit my novice license test. On arriving back, the president of the club I was in loaned me his converted CB, which I had a lot of fun with in the first year and or so that I was on air. Other hams in the club also assisted me with stuff they weren't using. The result of that has resulted in a lifelong enjoyment of the hobby. Along those lines, why not get your local club interested in approaching your local schools and organisations like the Scouts and Girl Guides, etc., to not only run a session about ham radio, but donate some radios for the use once licensed. You might find an influx of new young members that might breathe a new lease of life to a club that might be getting a bit stale. The cost of this is a bunch of slightly older radios that would otherwise only be gathering dust in the shack. Sounds like a bargain to me. Another idea I wouldn't mind floating is that all the clubs in Perth get together and form a bank of older radios for this purpose. I'm not talking about boat anchors that only the most experienced hams will be able to get going. I'm thinking of radios that are 10 to 15 years old, but while not having HDMI ports and software-defined brick wall filters and the like, can still be connected to a PC and used on FT8 and are still in good working order. I know at Ham College we often get either bequeathed radios or asked by a Silent Keys family to assist in getting rid of old radios. I have to say, I personally often run a mile from those opportunities, mainly because we have a room of boat anchors and no room for any more. At Ham College we are getting well over 100 new hams on air each year, many of which could benefit from a donation of a radio. Maybe it's part of joining their local club. I'm sure Ham College could, and has done in the past, provide a plug for local clubs as part of the foundation course. And knowing a new member may be able to gain or be loaned their first radio would be a huge draw card. So, why not have this kind of conversation at your next club meeting? I think you'd be surprised at what a bunch of club members could put together as a bank of gear, and the ongoing benefits to the club of a bunch of new members. Stop leaving all those great rigs gathering dust and put them to use that will benefit yourself, your community, and the hobby in general. Thanks for listening again. This is Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, that will be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, with the usual reminder that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's April Bulletin to go to air. This month, as well as the latest club news, I'll be presenting an article published in OTN some years ago entitled A Good Idea, Target Location. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and to join in the callbacks afterwards. The bulletin is transmitted via a wide range of times, modes and frequencies, including HF, VHF, UHF, D-Star, digital mobile radio and Echolink. Full details can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC broadcasts. Please note that some broadcast times are shown in Victorian local times, and now that Victoria is on Eastern Standard Time, as of yesterday, WA local time is now 2 hours behind Victoria time. Tomorrow, as well as the 20-meter SSB transmissions on 14.150 MHz at 00 and 01 hours UTC, that's 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. WA local time, there are other more local transmissions. At 8 a.m. local time, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network Talk Group 5. At 9 a.m., Chris VK6JI will transmit the bulletin on 80 meters on 3620 kHz. At 10 a.m. there's a transmission via the NewsWest linked repeater system, simultaneously with one on 40 metres on 7088 kHz, again by VK6JI. On Wednesday, April the 5th, we have a D-Star broadcast at 5:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C and will follow the D-Star news line. On the Sunday following the first Monday of the month, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and 40-metre broadcasts of the WIA news. Even if none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file from the RAOTC website at any time from today. Club members and friends are reminded that the next lunchtime meeting is on Tuesday, April the 11th, at the new venue, the Woodbridge Hotel, 50 East Street, Guildford. We meet at 11:30 a.m. for midday lunch. An attractive, well-priced seniors menu is available, which can be viewed online. Everyone is welcome to join in and have an eyeball QSO. There's adequate car parking, but if coming by train, be sure to alight at the Guildford East station, Guildford East. If you're a newcomer, or if you'd like more details, please visit the club's website and see the subheading Luncheons. Alternatively, you can email coordinator Phil, VK6ZKO, at pbcasper@bigpond.com. That's Papa, Bravo, Charlie, Alpha, Sierra, Papa, Echo, Romeo, pbcasper@bigpond.com. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the April broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6, Charlie, Sierra Whiskey.
Hi, this is Carsten, VK6PCB, Membership Officer for the West Australian Repeater Group. Thank you very much for your continued support over the last year. With your subscriptions, you have kept WAG on air for another year and helped improve our network of repeaters in Western Australia. The time has come for subscriptions to be paid for the 2023-24 period as of 1st of April. WAG subscriptions are still only $25 per year, one of the lowest cost amateur radio clubs in Western Australia. Subscriptions can be paid by bank transfer, as usual, to our bank account. You will find the details on the WAG website, which is warg.org.au. Remember to identify yourself with your call sign in the description of the transfer when sending in your subs, so we know who it's from. I'll say it again. Put your call sign in the description. Electronic funds transfer is preferred, but we can still take cheques to PO Box 2513 Mount Claremont 6010 or cash at meetings and events. The West Australian Repeater Group meets on the first Monday of each month, or the second Monday if the first is a public holiday. Meetings are held at the First Pelican Point Scout Sea Scout Hall, number 12 Australia 2 Drive, Crawley, down the end past the Yacht Club. Doors open at 1900 for a 1930 start. Tea and coffee are available and all are welcome. Meetings are also broadcast online. Please see the website for the details. Please note that this link is only available to financial members of WAG. More details are available on the WAG website, warg.org.au. For any membership inquiries, please email membership@warg.org.au. If you would like to check your membership status, visit the WAG website and click on Members Services and then Membership, which has a link to the spreadsheet and also all the other information you may require. There is also a form on the website which you can use to submit your details to us to ensure we have your correct contact details on record. You'll also find a copy of our application form on the site under Member Services and then click Membership. If you wish to join WAG, please visit our website for a lot of useful information. This is Carsten, VK6PCB, Membership Officer for the West Australian Repeater Group, wishing you a safe weekend, 73.
This is Greg, VK6LH, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this week's News West. We'll be back next week. If you'd like to contribute anything, please send it through to newswest@vk6.net.